The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. I begin reading at verse 1. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. How are you guys? Good? Good. Well, I brought something with me this morning. Come up here, Trent. I may need you, although you are very busy. I brought with me a kaleidoscope. Do you have any idea what that is? What? What do you think it is? You are absolutely correct. Okay, he's described it. I was thinking maybe no one would know. A kaleidoscope is exactly what you said. You look through it, and the colors just keep changing and changing and changing. And no matter how hard you try to hold that image, you can't. The colors just keep changing, and the colors move around. Well, you know, that reminds me of something. The world is changing. You are changing. You're getting bigger. You're growing. Knowledge changes. You know, what you know today will probably be very, very different when you grow up. But there is something that does not change. And we heard it in the book of Hebrews this morning. Can you think of what it might be? Or who it might be? God. Jesus. Hebrews 13, verse 8 this morning said, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow." So this kaleidoscope, and I have one for each of you, this kaleidoscope is going to keep changing, changing, changing. And on the outside, it even says, "Look to Jesus." What I want you to be reminded of this morning is Jesus never changes for us. His love never changes. So would you say with me, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay, guys, let's hope I have one. And they do say this is not appropriate for under three. But maybe mommies can help you. Okay, everybody gets one. Here. Okay, and as you take your kaleidoscope, you can go back to your seats.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There once was a woman by the name of Mrs. Clark. Mrs. Clark was one of the matriarchs of her small congregation. And it was the practice of that small congregation that any time a couple would be getting married in the church, that the whole congregation would be invited. So, of course, Mrs. Clark went to the wedding. She hadn't missed one in the 60-some-odd years of her adult life. And so she went to the wedding, and after the wedding, the reception was being held in the church fellowship hall. And so she made a stately entrance into that fellowship hall, and she went through the receiving line, shaking the hands and congratulating the young couple and greeting the parents of each of the bride and the groom. The food was served. It was served buffet style. People would go through the line, pick up their food, and then go find a place to sit. And there was one special table set up in the hall then for the bride and the groom and the wedding party to sit at. And so Miss Clark was one of the first ones through the line. But when she got her food, she went and sat way in the back, the furthest table away from that special table. One of the ushers one of the council members of the congregation noticed where she went and sat. And he rushed over there and he said, "Mrs. Clark, you need to sit closer to the front, closer to that special table." And she says, No, I'm fine here. This seat is perfectly fine." And that young couple will want to have their friends and extended family sit a little bit closer to them. The pastor saw what was going on, and he overheard the conversation, and he was impressed. He was impressed with her graciousness and her humility in declining that move forward, that move closer to that special table. And he was thankful he overheard it, too, because he was thinking, "I might have made the gaffe and gotten my food and sat up there close." But, of course, that young couple wants their friends and their family close to them. Well, several weeks later, the pastor paid a visit to Mrs. Clark at her home, and The subject of the wedding came up. And when it did, she had angry tears in her eyes. And she says, "Did you see the way that they treated me at that wedding reception? I should have been sitting closer up." And the pastor was somewhat shocked. And he reminded her of the conversation that she had with that council member. And she said, "No, it wasn't his place to say it. It was the bride's father who should have asked me to move forward." She wasn't exalted. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is invited to a dinner with important people in the town. It was to the home of a Pharisee. And I can just imagine Jesus had a twinkle in his eye of amusement as he watched the antics of these people at that wedding, at that dinner party. He either had a twinkle in his eye or else it made him sad because of the way that they were jockeying for position there in that dinner party. You know, and I can just imagine there at their special table, at their head table, that people were saying, "Scoot over, move over." And they were just kind of crowding in and crunching into each other, everybody trying to get in that perfect position of being important. Or maybe they noticed that there was no room for them there and they were given that evil eye to the people as they passed by. Or maybe making snide remarks. Like I said, either Jesus had a twinkle of amusement in his eye or else he was saddened by what he had seen. Because he tells two parables, or he tells a continued parable about two things. He tells that parable about when you are invited to a party of how to place yourselves. And then also, he says, if you have a party, if you have a banquet, if you host at your house, of how to conduct business. But this gospel lesson isn't so much about how we can exalt ourselves. It's not about that what to do and what not to do. It's not about the law. It's not about how we can humble ourselves in order so that we can be exalted. That's not what this parable is speaking about. What it's speaking about is true humility and what true humility means and what it looks like. There's a clue here. When Jesus tells parables about banquets or weddings or dinner parties, there's a key here to the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God should look like and what the kingdom of God is about. And so that's why we look at this gospel lesson and we see that kingdom of God here and what Jesus sees for the kingdom of God. We see that vision that Jesus has for who we are and what we are to be. For us, as we live here on this earth, it's been ingrained to us that we compare ourselves to other people. That's just the way we live. We compare ourselves to other people. Who has the most money? Who has the biggest house? Who has the fastest car? Who wears the most stylish clothing? Who has the prettiest lawn? Who's the most popular? Who has the most friends? Who has the most degrees or credentials? And the list goes on. We compare ourselves constantly to other people to find our place and how important we are or how lowly we are. And that's just the way we look at each other. But Jesus has a different vision. God has a different vision of us. As we are a part of that kingdom of God, God looks at us in a different way. Genesis tells us that we are created in the image of God. And if you remember those stories, God took that lump of clay, he molded it, fashioned it, and then he breathed life into it. He breathed his spirit into it. And we were made alive. We were created. And he created us for his enjoyment. He created us to be good. And not only good on the other days that God created, he looked back and he says, "It is good." But on that sixth day when human beings were formed, he says, "It is very good." And so that's how God sees us. He sees us as his creatures, as his handmade persons, people to be cherished and loved, children of God, children whom are to be cherished and loved. And so that's how Jesus
views the people. And so he talks here about humility and exaltation. And rather than talking about it, he actually lives it. Because that is the story of who Christ is that humility, that true humility. God humbled himself. He emptied himself, and he came to this earth to be one of us. He emptied himself, and he, the creator, became one of the creatures. He humbled himself, and he became one of us. And he continued to humble himself as he went to that cross, and he died for us. He gave himself up for us, and he rose to new life. What's interesting about this story then, too, about the humility and exaltation, Jesus sees everyone there in that same way, that they are creatures created by God, that they are children of God, and that they need to belong to his kingdom. When he tells these parables, he says, if you host a banquet, don't just invite your friends or the rich people so that you can be repaid when they invite you to their parties. Rather, instead, go out into the street, invite the poor, go invite the crippled, the lame, the blind. Invite those people who are on the edges, who are on the outside. Your reward will be great in heaven. The second lesson from Hebrews also has something to say along these lines. It says, welcome the stranger, because unawares you may be welcoming an angel. You may be entertaining angels. Or remember those in prison as if you were the one in prison. Remember those who are being tormented or persecuted just as you are being persecuted. When we humble ourselves, when we have this vision, as Christ has that vision, as we see other people of who they are as cherished children of God, and as we claim them for our own and as fellow members of humanity, it raises them up. That's what exaltation is about. Exaltation is not about raising our own selves up. It's about living in that kingdom of God and raising other people up. And when other people are raised up, we too are raised up. Because when we befriend a friend who is down, who is low, who is on the outskirts, then that person has a friend and they are raised up. They also hear about that kingdom of God. They see that kingdom of God. They see that belief. They see that faith that you have, and they are raised up. There, Christ came to this world to save the world. He came to save everyone. Not just the rich, not just the poor. Here in this story, Jesus doesn't snub anyone. He's at the home of the most rich and powerful people in that community. But he's also saying, invite the poorest, the lowliest, to that banquet as well. Christ's vision does not see comparisons of rich, poor, race, color, ethnicity, background, education, any of it. He sees everyone as a child of God. And he calls us into his kingdom. Christ died for all people, and he calls us into his kingdom. And so as we catch that vision of Christ, as we see as Christ sees, we too see the people of God. We see that people in God's kingdom, and we see people who do not yet believe in God's kingdom, who are not yet a part of that, but need to be. And so we treat them with that grace, and we treat them with the humility that Christ has treated us. Christ calls us into his kingdom. He wants us to live there, and he calls all people to be with him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.